morning, good morning. 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning can only mean my Community Plan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell Ellie Jenner Johnson.
And I'm your co-host, Adia Hayden.
Ms. Hayden, how are you this morning?
I'm doing super fantastic. How are you?
I'm super fantastic and grateful. I got to up you just a little bit. Hey, listen, I've been paying little attention. That's not true. I've been entertained and dismayed by the United States senatorial race between United States Senator Raphael Warnock and his Republican challenger, you know, that football player for the Dallas Cowboys or Washington Ooh. Generals, and, you know, Herschel Walker. Mr. Walker seems to have less, let's say, no command of the English language and less command of the issues facing the great state of Georgia and these United States. I don't know what is going on with Herschel Walker.
No wonder he's running away from debates, and he doesn't want to get on the stage and actually have to back up his points live. Doesn't seem like he'll do too well with that, but he did agree in the past couple of days to engaging in one debate in his Senate race.
Wait a minute. Herschel Walker said, I'll debate Senator Reverend Warnock anywhere, anytime. In fact, I'm going to give him home court advantage and debate him in Atlanta.
Well, all I'm saying is they better check Herschel Walker's ear or something to see if he's going to have some backseat help, some backstage help. You got to check his hands, his palms. Maybe he'll write some answers down where he's not supposed to.
I was looking at a report from CNN, and this is, I'm not saying this, I'm reading what somebody else wrote.
CNN.
Herschel Walker says he has, Senator Warnock has nothing to talk about. I'm ready to debate him anytime, any day. I just want to make it for the fans.
You know, it's the football in him. He's a performer because these high-profile athletes, once you make it to a certain level in the pro leagues, professional leagues, he's a performer. So, you know, they convinced him to do the debate. I don't know what kind of prep he's doing. He needs to be in a boot camp or something. But he's making it for the fans, not the voters, for the fans. All I'm saying is that's not somebody I want representing me in the United States Senate.
You know, it reminds me of when former President Barack Obama ran for United States Senate here in Illinois. They bought up this African-American brother whose name escapes me, but he moved into an apartment in Harvey and called himself running for United States Senator. And he had no understanding of any of the issues relevant not only to residents of Illinois, but to the nation. And I guess to some degree, it's a great way to juxtapose the brilliance of Senator Warnock with Herschel Walker's just lack of command of the issues. I won't be personal. I'll just say that you not only have to vote your interest, but you kind of want someone in the United States Senate who can read and write.
Ooh. Seems like fundamental things we should expect that of our elected officials.
It's a low bar.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's just a low bar. Not only do we continue to wrestle with this pandemic, this COVID pandemic, but now because we don't have enough, we got the monkeypox.
Ooh. It's the attack of the superbugs. You know, climate change is happening. We've got an increase in pandemics. Climate change is happening. So, some of the consequences of our human actions.
Candidate for United States Senator Herschel Walker says climate change is a hoax. It's just the imagination of these liberals.
What's the power of words here? So, whatever people will believe from the loudest mouth is unfortunately how our reality gets shaped.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I cannot help but to always think about the words of Dr. Kim Dupree, Delaney, probably Kim Delaney from the DeSable Museum of African American History, which always tells us that he or she who controls the narrative controls the world. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the loudest mouth does have the greatest impact, even if that loud mouth ain't saying nothing but some monkeypox with rashes all over your genital areas. That's monkeypox for you. In any event, I don't want to put monkeypox Herschel Walker in the same.
This is a great warning.
Listen, we do have some serious stuff to talk about today.
I believe both of those topics are serious.
Monkeypox and rashes on
anus. In a United States Senate race.
But you know what? That's a great segue because Herschel Walker is a monkeypox.
He's a pox of monkeys.
On that note, let's go ahead and we got some comedy on this morning. Glad you all woke up to join us on today. We've got Alderman of the 6th Ward here in Chicagoland and Mayor, your candidate, my good friend. Did I say my good friend?
I heard good friend.
My good friend, Roderick Sawyer. Alderman Sawyer, are you with us?
I am here, Reverend. How are you, my brother?
Man, you know, I'm super fantastic and grateful. I have been your brother from another mother for just about 20 years now, brother.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe a little longer, but yes.
Are you complicating my math, man? How are you doing this morning?
No, I'm not going to even profess to do that, sir. Yeah, but it's been a good long while. It's been a good ride.
It's been a great ride. Welcome for our first time to the program. Thank you for joining us on this morning. So let's talk a little about the individual, Roderick Sawyer. So you're originally from Wisconsin, is that correct?
I'm from Park Manor, Chicago, Illinois. Lifelong Chicagoan.
Lifelong Chicagoan.
To be only precise, I was born on 70th and Rose, in the Great Park Manor neighborhood.
Okay. He said the Great Park Manor neighborhood. My man. And so tell our listening and viewing audience a little about your journey prior to becoming Alderman of the 6th Ward.
Certainly. Thank you. And good morning to your host as well, co-host as well. I'm an original Chicagoan. Grew up in, born and raised in Park Manor. Went to high school, St. Ignatius, got my finance degree from DePaul University, and my law degree from Chicago Kent College of Law here, all in Chicago. Been practicing lawyer for 32 years, looks like, and always been active in the community. So I always had a public service bug, always wanted to do something that would be impactful for my community. When we met, we had children at McDade Classical School, where I happy to serve as the LSC chairman for a little over 10 years there. Was active in all areas of my community, whether it's community organizations, what have you. But caught the political bug at a young age, was always active in one way or another. And then... I got to a point where I thought that we needed a change in leadership in my community. And in doing that, I ran for office in 2011, and I've served as the alderman since 2011. I've served as co-chair of the Progressive Caucus. I've served as chair of the Black Caucus. I am currently now chair of the Committee on Health and Human Relations. I heard you discussing monkeypox just a moment ago. We'll be having a hearing on that tomorrow. And I am now a candidate running for mayor.
A candidate for mayor. I've got to comment very quickly before we go to break on your service as chairman of the McDade Local School Council. And that is where we met. And just so you know it, dear, it was Roderick Sawyer, Alderman Sawyer, and Justice Carl Walker who insisted that I join that local school council because I kept going to the meetings. So one of the things I can say about Rod is if he sees you have a heart for public service, he'll draft you. This is my Community Plan Foundation Hour. We've got Alderman Roderick Sawyer with us on the line. Stay tuned. I'll be back after this short station break.
Starting a job search? In need of training to get new skills? Are you an employer looking for a great hire? The Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership can help. We're the umbrella organization for the largest publicly funded workforce development system in the nation, serving Chicago and Cook County. Our network consists of more than 90 community-based organizations that can offer you the assistance you need at no cost. Make the call. Dial 1-800-720-2515 or visit shycookworks.org. Find the connection you need.
YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
Welcome back to the My Community Foundation Hour. We've got Alderman of the 6th Ward and mayor candidate Rod Sawyer on the line.
Good morning. Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. So thank you for coming. Thank you for waking up this morning. So as we talk about the 6th Ward, it's been seen that your ward has been redrawn recently. And I, as a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, am no stranger to gerrymandering and redistricting and the political motivations behind that. So can you talk a little bit about the redrawing of the 6th Ward and any effects that you feel like that may have caused?
Well, with the we had a process that I've been a part of on a few occasions now. We met and started meeting the prior summer before the remap occurred. And we met originally with the Black Caucus, and then we started meeting with other groups. And it was a sometimes contentious, but at the end of the day, we worked out an agreement. And as it relates to the 6th Ward, my ward is pretty much about 90% of what it was. I was able to pick up the area that was lost to the 6th Ward under the last remap, and that would take me right back to 95th Street, representing the areas of West Chesterfield, which was recently part of the 6th Ward, but were lost in 2011. So I think that my ward is primarily pretty much the same. The bulk of the ward is identical. I lost a little of the west portion, which was a portion of Inglewood. I still carry a portion of Inglewood, but not as much. And I pick up West Chesterfield, and the rest of the ward pretty much remains intact.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Adia addresses here, and I thought you were going to go into that, is opportunities for millennials and Generation Z. And as we're going to talk extensively, if we can, about your vision for the city of Chicago. But, you know, the thing that we've learned, that I certainly have learned, is no one really cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So as we talk about your representing the residents of the 6th Ward of Chicago, and I want to talk a little about that in a very specific manner, and that is you have a number of schools in the 6th Ward, but just as important, you have a healthy demographic of young people in the 6th Ward. So as you look at the journey of these young folk, what have you done during your tenure as an alderman that specifically addresses the needs and aspirations of young folk in the 6th Ward of Chicago?
Primarily, I make every effort that I can to try to engage them. I've worked with young people on, you know, particularly in the areas of legislation. I think that's extremely important. I worked back many years ago with young people with the ACLU regarding traffic stops many years ago. Then continue to work with young people. I work with Good Kids, Mad City right now regarding I'm one of the lead co-sponsors of the Peace Book Ordinance that's in committee right now. They were looking for somebody to sponsor that. I was happy to do that. and generally just trying to get people engaged in how important it is to get involved in your community, get involved in elected offices. You know, it's not a pariah. It's a necessity, and we need more young people to become active.
Okay. So are there any pieces of legislation that you've sponsored, supported, that for, by way of example, offers an alternative? Because I know this year we've had several instances prior to the curfew being put in place of young folk downtown. And I know that these very same young people are not regulated to just the Sixth Ward. It's system-wide or, you know, throughout Cook County. But are there any pieces of legislation sponsored by you or supported by you that impact young folk on their journey, either for entrepreneurial opportunities, specifically identifying resources, particularly for those who are interested in being self-employed?
Well, as it relates to entrepreneurship, you know, what's good for one is usually good for all, but we always try to focus on making sure that young people have every opportunity to be involved. Like I said, the legislation I referred to just a moment ago was more on public safety, which is where my real wheelhouse is. I've been really very active in the public safety space, doing a lot in that area. And that's where I've been trying to concentrate on, because I think that's really an overriding concern for all of us. We can't have economic development without, you know, areas, without people feeling safe in their environments and making sure they can get to the goods and services that we always try to offer people. But individually, we've always supported young people in any endeavor, you know, mostly on the business side, maybe not legislation-wise, but the impact on how important it is to get them involved in what's going on and get them involved in actively being involved in business decisions and making sure that they're part of the economy, whether it's being through the MBE program, making sure that they get their paperwork in that order. I've always been one that has been very responsive to individuals like that, particularly young people, making sure that they, you know, get involved and get active and, you know, earn a living, which is important.
So in the same vein, Cook County received about $1 billion windfall, actually, in the sense that it was money from the federal government as a result of the infrastructure bill. And the city of Chicago received about $2 billion. And these dollars, as I understand it, have to be worked out in terms of what they're going to be spent on and utilized by either 23 or 25. So let's go back to the beginning of that conversation. And the city received about $2 billion for infrastructure work. Is that correct?
That's approximately, yeah, it's in that area. That's correct.
So my understanding, and you can clear it up if I'm mistaken, is you guys had to decide how to spend those dollars, and you had a pretty interesting free hand, as it were, in deciding, well, how did the city address spending those dollars? Is it similar to the county?
Well, one of the problems that I have is that it has, you know, it's so far been a pretty much top-down approach. You know, we get notified of things, to be honest with you, sometimes just like you do. You know, we hear it in the newspaper, and it's actually quite frustrating when we're not partners in what goes on going forward. So, you know, a lot of the money had a free rein where the mayor can spend it almost, you know, with, I guess you could say, with almost reckless abandon and do what, you know, she feels is necessary, not what the community feels is necessary, which is one of the reasons that I'm entering this race. You know, the spirit of collaboration is not really there like it should be, and we're not engaged enough so that the people can have a say what's going on with this tranche of money that we're having right now, because you know it's not going to last. And, you know, when you're spending on things like free gas giveaways, when we're asking for things that will really impact the community, like increases in mental health services, alternatives to antisocial activity, getting people involved in positive activity, workforce development, things like that that are really important, that are actually investments in people, investments in the community, we're giving away gas. Gas is gone in a week, you know, and then what?
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you telling me we're not utilizing those dollars for those dollars for sustainable objectives?
Not clearly enough. That's exactly yes. That's the answer. Yes.
So that's I'm at a loss for words.
It is.
I'm at a loss for words because I know on the county side, the commissioners each conducted their own community outreach sessions where they intentionally brought in members of their respective districts to talk about where these dollars could go. Are you telling me that is not what the city has engaged in?
That's what I'm telling you, sir.
So the aldermen don't know where those dollars are going, don't know what projects, sustainable projects, they're going to be invested in. Am I getting this correct?
We're not fully engaged in the process. That is correct.
Interesting. And not to creep ahead to what your vision of Chicago would look like, but if you were to be mayor in this situation, I'm imagining a more collaborative approach to spending federal dollars. So whether that is conducting needs assessments and engaging nonprofit partners, or you know, base level talking to your aldermen who are distributed out in the streets on the ground, what would you do a little bit differently with responsible spending?
Not to get ahead, of course.
Well, no, if we're gonna talk about the current state, we can also talk about what you know we would do differently.
Oh, of course. And I think, again, I think you answered the bulk of that question very adequately as it relates to me. I'm very consistent in when I work with whatever I do as far as in public service. I try to get as many voices as I can heard because I'm smart enough to know that I'm not usually the smartest person in the room. So I try to engage as many people as I can to get voices that we can hear and understand what we can be doing you know, using our best assets, and the best assets we have are the great citizens of Chicago. So I've always been, as Mitchell stated earlier, you know, when I saw Mitchell was getting involved, wanted to be involved, you know, we got him in. We brought him in, and we were glad that we did because he had a great voice and had great ideas on what we should be doing as it relates to our children back then. So I'm that person that does that consistently. I'll bring in people to ask for advice and suggestions, talk about what I think is right. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, it may not be all my idea. It may not be all the constituents' idea, but it's a conglomeration of all what we talk about to make things as best as we can. So I think that approach is always useful and effective. And I think that it's not being done enough currently in City Hall.
Mm-hmm. That anecdote, actually, that the Reverend offered at the top of the show seems to be pretty persuasive. So I recommend y'all collaborate on that and use it as a way for, you know, you to talk about joining in collaboration with constituents.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I want to put on the what if hat. And if you were mayor today and you received $2 billion, unrestricted dollars, what, as you consider your various demographics, and I'm gonna ask you to chew on this question, and don't respond until we come back from this break that's coming up right now. You know, this, I'm putting on a Dear Hayden's hat. What would you do to encourage millennials and Generation Z to do two things? One, engage in governance. And two, create economic engines in their own communities. That's the question on the floor for Alderman Rod Sawyer of the 6th Ward here in Chicago and mayoral candidate. There's some mayoral candidacy in his bones. He can't help himself. This is the My Community Foundation Hour. We'll be back after this short station break.
Are you looking for a new career? YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill several roles in their South Suburban location. No experience required. They're seeking to fill the following positions: assembly operator, automation technician, molding operator, quality inspector, setup technician, forklift driver, cycle counter, material handler. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
Starting a job search? In need of training to get new skills? Are you an employer looking for a great hire? The Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership can help. We're the umbrella organization for the largest publicly funded workforce development system in the nation, serving Chicago and Cook County. Our network consists of more than 90 community-based organizations that can offer you the assistance you need at no cost. Make the call. Dial 1-800-720-2515 or visit shycookworks.org. Find the connection you need.
Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. With us is Alderman of the 6th Ward here in Chicago and mayoral candidate by the name of Roderick Sawyer, my good friend. Let me add that part. My very good friend for 20 plus years. Alderman Sawyer, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you again.
When we left, I wanted you to put on your visionary hat, and this program was launched by David Wayne Posley Jr. Not quite 2 years ago, and his focus was opportunities and access to resources for millennials and Generation Z. So we always try to have a co-host, and in some cases the host, to focus on those areas. So I'm going to back up for a second and tilt the hat to Adia Hayden. Because I want to hear what you would do if you were the mayor and the federal government dropped $2 billion into your hands to administer for the citizens of Chicago. How would you address the apathy? Is apathy a good word for millennials and Gen Z, Ms. Hayden?
It's a word that we definitely do hear from older generations to describe
Ooh.
Us.
Do you hear that, Alderman?
Well, I mean, that's actually quite funny because, you know, my initial answer was I would not have the audacity to say what the millennials and Generation Z would want without asking first. I would not be that presumptuous to say that I know and I have all the answers on what people need. I don't. But I would, you know, we would at that point, if we had that tranche of money and if it was unlimited, because our money was not unlimited, but in your scenario, the money was unlimited. You know, I think that we would start off, you know, very calmly and correctly doing visioning sessions, engaging with youth and finding out what it is that why they're not getting engaged, if that's the case, or why they think that the current government structure does not suit them. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the current government structure is horribly screwed up. I guess I have to say that. I didn't want to say anything inappropriate on the radio, but it's not good. It's based on a system, an archaic system of favoritism and cronyism, and it just does not work anymore, and we've done nothing to change it. Now, what I would suggest and would engage with the youth, one of the things that we should do is have a hard reset and change how we operate in the city of Chicago. But again, with that, and I think that's important. I would love to talk about that at length, maybe either this time or some other time. But again, you know, our basic structure does not engage you, does not really engage the citizenry in Chicago in an appropriate way. And I think that we need to do a hard reset and change what it's like to function in Chicago. But going back to your direct question as far as it relates to youth, you know, again, engagement I think would be a key because, again, I don't have that answer. I cannot tell you what millennials and Generation Z people want without asking. You know, I have children that are in that group, and we talk about it all the time, and I think that's where we would begin. You know, we would not start spending money until we had a plan. And I think in order for us to have a plan, We have to get together the people that are being affected, either positively or negatively, and engage them and find out really what we should be doing as a community, as a government, with this type of money. Should we pay debt? Should we invest in human infrastructure? Should we do combination or a little bit of one and some of the other? But we also have to talk about what the reality is, you know, where our financial station is. And I think we need to treat it almost like you treat your household. You want to be very, very responsible in making investments and things and spending money without understanding your full financial situation. And I think that's one thing that everybody should understand much better is the fiscal health of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually very interested to hear more about this hard reset that you speak of and like changing the structure of Chicago government a little bit. But to go to very tactically on engaging young people, because I feel like I hear politicians often talk about, oh, well, just engage them. Right. But like, what does that look like? Are you going to have a dedicated office? Would you have a dedicated advisor? Is this someone who's just a part of a transition team? You know, what does building that ongoing engagement look like? If you have any specific ideas right now.
Well, I, you know, right now, because I didn't know that was going to be the focus, but of course I would have specific individuals and across the sections of all over Chicago with youth that I know that are active. I would start there. You know, I engage with a lot of youth right now over the city, and I would start with them because I deal with them, and I know that they're active out here in various things, and that's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
And we would move from there. I've worked with a lot of activist organizations, worked with a lot of groups over the years, and that's where I would begin. And you know, if that means we have to put together a commission or a group to get that rolling, that's what we would do. You know, we wouldn't sit there and talk about it. We would just immediately just get it engaged. I would talk to the individuals that I know, that I engage with, and I'm hoping that they would talk to their cohorts and, you know, we would come together with a group of outstanding young people from all over the city so that we can have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And so to get into this hard reset a little bit, what is the current structure of how, you know, Chicago engages with young people or, you know, in the larger picture? The Reverend mentioned your vision for Chicago. What do you see going on there? And specifically, like you're mentioning this hard reset with the structure.
Well, you know, I've participated or been involved in government for a long time, and I've watched the evolution of us, but not the evolution of the structure of government. Our current structure in government in Chicago is based on a patronage model. So it's based on a, you know, more what can I do for you and you do for me model, as opposed to what's good for everyone. So, you know, if we go back a little bit and we had a patronage system, which was in some aspects good, in some aspects very bad. The good part was when we had patronage back in its heyday, we created a black middle class. It was very, very important. And plus, it was a high level of engagement during those times. So when we had block club meetings, they were packed. When we had community meetings, 400 or 500 people at any given time. People were engaged because of their opportunity for employment. The bad part about that patronage system was that you can also discipline and fire people if they chose not to continue to stay involved. Real quick example, let's just say I'm part of an organization. You know, I was because of that organization, I got a job with the city of Chicago, and my committeeman told me, hey, go sell these tickets, and if I did not sell these tickets, you know, that person could actually be punished in the term of not being able to go to work that day.
Mm-hmm. So how do you come in the middle of, I'm sorry to cut you off, but how do you come in the middle of a patronage system where people will be owed favors and expecting something, and you're coming in and you're saying, hold on, we're not doing that anymore. So now you have people who are in favor of it.
Well, I mean, the patronage system has long been gone. You know, with the Shagman Decree, the patronage system, at least on its face, has been gone.
Mm-hmm.
But our government structure is still the same. It's still based on, you know, you calling your alderman to try to get your garbage can or tree trimmed. And right now, that's not, you know, the means of production is not based in the committeeman or the alderman's hand any longer. It's a centralized location where, you know, with 311, which is the 316. Uh-huh. Now, other cities have more like a public works department. So, prime example is you call me and say you needed your tree trimmed in front of your house. Based on what Streets and Sand tells us, I have to tell you that it's about approximately a 15-month wait to get your tree trimmed. And I'm the person that has to tell you that. So you're mad at me as the alderman telling you what Streets and Sand is telling me. And but I say I'm the one that you went to for that help. And when I give you that answer, obviously you're upset with that answer because that's not sustainable. Why should it take 15 months to get a tree trimmed?
Mm-hmm.
But yet that's what we're instructed to tell the constituents. That's the answer that we're instructed to give.
So that's
so we're you know, so it's seemingly that we're responsible for the problem, but we don't control the means of production.
So it's almost like you have to make the dinner, but you're not buying the groceries.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so I think about, you know, the structure of government. So does a Roderick Sawyer mayoral position involve empowering the alderman still? So in terms of decentralizing, you know, control from what the mayor has, does your vision include empowering the aldermen, giving them, you know, a little bit more say and active participation in what goes on with the future of Chicago?
Well, and that's a very good question. I won't necessarily say that's the case, but what I will say is, if you look for a definition of alderman anywhere, either in the state statute or the municipal code, you will not find one. There's no defined role for alderman right now.
Mm.
You know, and the biggest problem I have with all this is that, you know, because it's not a defined role, aldermen are pretty much, you know, in the people's mind, are responsible for everything. And that should not be the case. Most other major, in matter of fact, almost every other major city, their aldermen or their city councilmen, whatever the equivalent is, are legislators primarily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the case
they're
in Philadelphia.
They make laws.
Yes.
They make laws. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, we, because of our system that I was talking about earlier, you know, so it has evolved into, you know, the alderman is kind of the everyman of the ward. You know, if you have any kind of problem, you know, you go to your aldermen right now. But that's, again, it's, doesn't make sense because we can intake your problem. We can give it to the appropriate agencies. We can do all that, but we cannot solve your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if the city does not solve your problem in the time that you think it would be appropriate for the site, you're going to call back your alderman. You're not going to call the city hall. You're not going to call 311 back. You're going to call me and say, what's your problem? Why aren't you taking care of that? And I'm going to say, well, we submitted it in and we did everything. We followed up. And the city's just going to do what they do. And, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because there's no defined role, because we have no city charter. You know, we're the only major city in the United States that does not have a city charter.
Mm.
That makes no sense. So we have no structure. We have no local constitution, if you will, to, you know, to highlight and design the basis on how we operate. That's when I talk about a hard reset. We need to do these things, and in order to do these things, we need a lot of state intervention because we have to make some modifications to the to the Illinois Municipal Code and other portions of the state statute so that we can start making those changes. And when you start making those changes, what you do is go to the you're required to go to the community, start having business sessions, start having meetings about what this looks like, what this city charter looks like, what it should look like. What should aldermen be responsible for? Let's put it there. Let's finally have an answer to this so that we at least know the job that we're doing and we can do it effectively.
Look,
if you're not responsible for city services, make sure that 311 is robust and responsible enough to address those needs of the constituency of Chicago.
Alderman, you are on a roll. Alderman, you are on a roll, but the music in the background tells me it's time to go to the last portion of the program. We have got the blood boiling in Alderman Rod Sawyer. Listen,
passion for the people.
He has passion. I like that in you. Listen, this is our last segment coming up. After this, we're going to talk some action with mayoral candidate Roger McSawyer. He's for real, y'all. We'll be back after this short station break.
Starting a job search? In need of training to get new skills? Are you an employer looking for a great hire? The Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership can help. We're the umbrella organization for the largest publicly funded workforce development system in the nation, serving Chicago and Cook County. Our network consists of more than 90 community-based organizations that can offer you the assistance you need at no cost. Make the call. Dial 1-800-720-2515 or visit shycookworks.org. Find the connection you need.
YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
To the Mike and Infant Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Mitchell Ellie Kenneth Johnson. I have no voice
at all, and I am the co-host, Tia Hayden. Keeping my mask on and 6 feet away.
With us on the phone is my good friend. I'm going to start calling him the passionate one. That's Alderman Roderick Sawyer of the 6th Ward. And the brother does have a fire for the office of mayor in the city
of
Chicago.
And he's got a vision for the city of Chicago.
Alderman Sawyer, welcome back to the program.
Like I said, I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, just want to do what's right by the city.
Absolutely.
And one of the challenges that I absolutely have is I've been in Chicago since 1996, I believe. 97, 96, in that little space there. And I always notice, Alderman, that the city seems to focus on downtown to the expense of the communities that folk live in. And on the south side, where you are the Alderman, on the west side, are some of the most disinvested, marginalized, red line, high crime, low employment communities in the city. What does a mayoral, what does a Sawyer administration do to reverse that trend in such a way that it doesn't take away from other more affluent communities in Chicago?
Well, that's easy, Mitchell. Every neighborhood should, all 77 neighborhoods should be self-sustainable. That means all 77 neighborhoods should each have area for entertainment, area for business, for children activities, professional services, and all the amenities there too. So I have a primarily a bedroom community, but I don't have enough of the amenities that you would want to have when you're considering settling down, having a family. We have the housing stock. The housing stock is great in our area. You can buy a house at a reasonable price, get a piece of land. But again, I always say the problem that we have in my neighborhood, that's the part of the disinvestment we talk about right now, is that I don't have the gymnasiums, I don't have the coffee shops, I don't have the enough restaurants and enough places for enjoyment, theater, spoken word cafes, and all the things that, and then doctor, dental, accounting, lawyers, offices in the area that you should have that makes a community. Every one of our 77 neighborhoods should have access to all of those things where we don't have to go other places to find those goods and services or entertainment. You know, let's be real. Sometimes I'd rather be amongst my own when I'm looking for a dentist or if I'm looking to have a good time. Either one. I want to be around people I'm familiar with, people that I feel comfortable with. And right now it's difficult because we don't make those investments in our individual neighborhoods. So we have to be intentional about it. People have to understand that, be intentional about it. And under a Sawyer administration, as you stated, we will be intentional about these things. We will be intentional about working with young people. We will be intentional about working with African-Americans and other ethnicities and groups that have been marginalized up until this point. This is what we have to do.
Got another question for you, similarly related. I talk about this to anyone who will listen. The Burnham Plan was a plan constructed in the turn of the century for the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it envisioned a rail extension to the limits of the entire city. But if you're flying an airplane over Chicago today, you would conclude that Chicago ends at 95th Street because that's where the red line stops. So for all them folk living at 95th.
Well, hey, Mitchell, real quick, if you look at some city maps, it ends at 57th Street.
Oh.
At the Museum of Science and Industry. It doesn't go any further.
So, help me understand.
Like the world is flat.
Help me understand. We know, first of all, parenthetically, that transit-oriented development is a key to economic success in communities. Simple and plain. It's kind of like your body needs water. TOD will revitalize your community. Does the Sawyer administration complete the red line extension? Goodness.
Of course. I mean, obviously, that's it. Yeah, the money's supposed to be there.
Money know, been there.
Get on. The money's sitting there. You're correct. But, you know, the problem we have right now is that the mayor is proposing a transit TIF that's taking money from the northern area where it has nothing to do with the area. This should be a at the end of the day, this should be a capital plan. It should not be a plan where we're picking money out of the pockets of people struggling to pay for a rail service. This should be, again, an intentional capital plan to make the investment, our portion of the investment, because that's like anything else. The government gives you the bulk of the money, but the city's going to have to come up with a little something, too. So we have to be, again, that group, that entity that says that we really care about the people in Roseland, the people at Argyle Gardens, the people out there in the south portion of the city, to make sure that they have active transit so they can get to work and have a community that's viable, that they can have a family that they can sustain. And right now, you know, this has been going on way too long.
Alderman.
Richard,
I love you. I do, but I can't take it. The state got $14 billion for infrastructure. The state got $14 billion for infrastructure. The city of Chicago got $2 billion for infrastructure. I can't take any more conversation about where the money's coming from. I just can't do it. What is lacking right now, sir, is the will.
New transit stations, and we're not.
The issue is the will. You got to tell some white folk that you can't have your new train. You got to tell some white folk you can't have your new Cadillac and trains, your Tesla and trains, so the black folk can get the dad blind Pinto and trains. Because they don't have no train.
Well,
so I'm not mad if you upgrade the other train. I just want my train.
Well, Mitchell, like I stated earlier, you got to treat like you treat your household. You got to set priorities and be reasonable within your budget. And like I said, sometimes you can't get the Bentley. You know, sometimes it's okay to get the Kia. You know, and
just like
Kia
a household,
okay.
You have to take in more than one opinion. So it won't just be the executive will of one individual, right. But yep, a collaborative agreement.
That's absolutely right.
You know, if I hear one more person talk to me about the absence of financial capacity at a time.
No, I didn't say absolute financial. I said it's the will. You know, the money's there. It's the will of the administration to invest that money in certain areas is the difference.
Okay. Ooh, and not watered down responses based on what opposition might say. So, you know, what you're getting at with you have to tell northern neighborhoods or the white folk of northern neighborhoods that they can't get their train. Someone has to say that to them. And then with whatever they come back with, you have to be ready to, you know, counter and talk about, no, this is, we're building a train for the first time down there and they need to get that. And, you know, there's no wavering. There's no let's come together and reach a conclusion collaboration together.
No.
Reverend, let me say this real quick. I know your show's about to end. Reverend, I watched a movie a long time ago, and it was a line in a movie where a guy said, you know, God answers all prayers, but sometimes the answer is no. So like you were saying, you know, you have to tell people no sometimes. You know, you're not going to get the Cadillac and trains right now. You're going to get this because we have to spend this money here. This
or you might not get it because we don't have to compromise on that.
Listen, get it all right.
Alderman, I got to say this to you. When it came to Illinois Solar for All, and I serve on a number of committees for that state project, some of my white counterparts would say, Reverend, we're just not ready for that conversation today. And my retort was, we weren't ready for redlining, but we got it anyway. We weren't ready for high insurance rates, even though the actuarial scientists say the rate of loss is the same in my community as in your community. But my insurance rates are still high. We're not ready for speed cameras in my communities, but we got them anyway. We're not ready to be unemployed, undereducated, and then have our schools closed, but we got them anyway. So if you're not ready for a new train, pox on you. But a new train has got to be the red line extension and train services in black and brown communities has got to be the number one priority. This is my humble opinion of any mayoral candidate because transit oriented development changes communities. This is not new news. Can I get a commitment?
No, it's not. I read a book a long time ago by Andrew Young who stated that around every transit stop, there should be at least, and this was in $1990. I think he was, if I remember correctly, the book stated that you should have at least $100 million in economic activity around every transit stop.
Bam! This is not complicated.
I have transit stops that have nothing. And I talk about it to CTA and the planning all the time. I fight this fight consistently, and it seems like the only one that gets into my neighborhood is McDonald's.
So hold on. I've got to ask you this question. I know the engineer told me we got to go, but give me another 60 seconds. Give me 45. Alderman, where can folk reach you if they want to talk a little more to you, about you, and maybe join the cause? Where do they go?
Okay. Real quickly, you can go to... right now you can go to my personal page. We're putting together new pages now for our site will be Sawyer for Chicago. Right now you can go to my Alderman Roderick T. Sawyer or Roderick T. Sawyer at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Roderick T. Sawyer. And we will be having a Sawyer for Chicago page up and running in the next couple of days.
Man, thank you so much for joining us. You know, our friend Carl.
I really appreciate it.
Our friend Carl is going to be happy to hear your voice early in the morning. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour that is and was mayoral candidate Roderick Sawyer. He's still the alderman, but he's the mayoral candidate, Roderick Sawyer, the passionate one. This has been the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. Have a super fantastic and great weekend.